If you have your Bibles, please find your place in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. The title of our message this morning is Means for Obtaining the Wisdom of God. This message has been prepared with a topical theme in mind, so we will also be considering Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, and James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 in this message. Again, Proverbs 2, Matthew 13, and James chapter 1. But our scripture reading now comes from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. So hear what the word of our Lord says. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. This is God's Word. We come now to our fourth sermon in the Proverbs. Our goal in these sermons has been to understand and receive wisdom from God by looking to Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God incarnate. But before we continue to examine this book, I think it might be helpful for us to briefly recap where we have been thus far. In the introductory sermon of Proverbs, we contemplated the purpose of this book, which is to impart wisdom. We considered that foolish and wise are moral descriptions that contrast the saved person from the unsaved person. Wisdom is necessary, not so we can be smarter than the person sitting next to us, but because we need direction from God concerning how we are to be saved and how we are to live a life that is well-pleasing to Him. Well, next in Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 9, we heard the voice of wisdom speaking through an earthly father to a son. Solomon declared that children should obey their parents, and he taught his children not to listen to sinners who would entice them to commit evil acts. And most recently, we considered how dangerous it is not to listen to the call of God. God has offered wisdom to fools, but fools freely choose to mock wisdom and to choose folly that leads to destruction. And therefore, God will mock sinners who reject His outward call of repentance. Well, now in our passage, the voice of wisdom transitions from rebuking obstinate sinners to now instructing humble children who are willing to receive wisdom. In chapter 1, Solomon has told us the essence of what wisdom is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, cross-reference, the beginning of wisdom. Further, he has told us who wisdom can affect, the simple, the youth, the wise, the fool. But now at the beginning of chapter 2, God's word addresses how we can obtain wisdom from God. In these verses that we have just read, this proverb contains language that later scripture will utilize. Therefore, rather than just isolating us to Proverbs chapter 2, I want us to consider these multiple passages that I mentioned at the beginning Matthew chapter 13 and James chapter 1 as we address our topic this morning, means for obtaining the wisdom of God. So without further introduction, let us now draw our attention to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And our first heading is this: dig for wisdom like a miner who searches for hidden treasure. Dig for wisdom like a miner who searches for hidden treasure. It may be helpful for me to begin by saying that when I say miner, I am referring to a digger, not an underage person, not something that is of lesser importance. We're referring to someone who digs. But draw your attention to verses 1 through 5. Within most of our English Bibles, verses 1 through 5 consist of one long sentence. And in this one long English sentence, we observe three conditional clauses followed by a dependent clause. To state this another way, we read of three ifs followed by the word then. So the author's sentence then is structured like this: if you will do this, and if you will do this, and if you will do this, then this will take place. And the then of our passage is very significant because it pertains directly to our goal of studying the book of Proverbs. Verse 5 describes the receiving and the right perception of the fear of the Lord. So if we will receive the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God and the wisdom that we so desperately need, we should consider these three if statements, which tell us how to understand and find what God wants us to understand and find. So first, to understand the fear of the Lord and to find the knowledge of God, we must receive God's wise sayings, God's revealed word. Look at what verse 1 says: if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you. Solomon is speaking to his son, who possesses a subordinate role in relation to his father. Solomon is a superior, speaking to one that he has authority over. And similarly, we as Christians who are willing to listen to the voice of wisdom must recognize and acknowledge our subordinate role to the divine author of Scripture, who has authority over us and who has authority over all things. Further, the Son is called upon in our text to receive or to take these wise words. Likewise, to receive wisdom, we must humble ourselves and acknowledge that we need to receive something that we do not possess in ourselves by nature. Wise words do not naturally flow from our foolish lips and our tongues. Sound counsel does not flow out of the heart and out of the mind of the simple and the foolish one. To obtain wisdom from God, we must recognize and believe that we are the ones in need of receiving what only God can grant. Additionally, to obtain wisdom, the author calls upon his son to treasure up my commandments. Remember, as we've already mentioned this morning in the reading of our scripture and the meditating upon the law, the foundation for wisdom is God's law. If the son in our text will obtain God's wisdom, he must receive wise commandments that are built upon the moral foundation of God's righteous and holy law. Rather than rebelling against wise instruction or disrespectfully ignoring paternal wisdom, the son is called upon to treasure up these wise commandments within him. Well, to obtain wisdom then, one must first listen to God's word, and then one must prioritize God's word and recognize It's value. The person who obtains wisdom is the one who diligently tries to get Scripture into his heart, into his mind, and into his soul because he finds Scripture to be important and valuable. So that's the first if that we consider from verses 1 through 5. But second, the next conditional clause is found in verse 3. Yes, if you call out for insight, and if you raise your voice for understanding, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. To receive wisdom, one must seek the giver of wisdom to grant illumination and understanding to these wise words that have been revealed in Scripture. Near the end of chapter 1, the voice of wisdom was depicted as a person who was standing in public, crying out for men to listen. But now, wisdom's voice through King Solomon teaches us of our need to raise our voices, to cry out to wisdom. Calling out for insight means that we, as I already said, we don't have something that we stand in need of. Our darkened minds are unable to clearly perceive Jesus Christ, who is the scope and the end of the Scriptures. Our sinful minds fail to understand our relation to Christ and our responsibilities towards Him and His people. Apart from the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge being given to us, our minds are dark, dull, and dumb to the spiritual things of God. Therefore, we must not only use means to read Scripture and to treasure up Scripture within us, we must cry out. We must raise our voices to God that God would help us to understand these wise words that we should devote ourselves to. And the third and last conditional clause of this section is found in verse 4. If you will seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. In this third if statement, our Lord graciously condescends down to our level of understanding by giving us an illustration so we can understand what He's telling us. He presents someone who is diligently searching for silver or for hidden treasure. You can just picture this illustration in your minds as we have read it in the Word of God. You can imagine a miner who searches the ground looking for valuable metals, but he fails upon his first attempt to dig up the earth. Imagine that the miner knows he is somewhere in the right place based upon reliable instruction that he's received. And therefore he continues to dig and to dig and to dig, but to no avail. He finds no treasure. But the miner continues to dig. He exerts himself. He exhausts his body. He may even grow frustrated or discouraged that as he's exerting himself, he is not finding the treasure that he's searching for after so much digging. But diligently and persistently, he continues to dig because he believes that if he does, he will find the treasure that he is looking for. And then all of a sudden, the miner's tool dings instead of thumps. After much hard work and diligence, he discovers hidden treasure. It was there all along. Based upon the reliable instruction he received, he had faith that treasure could be obtained, and he used means to obtain this treasure. Well, the Word of God teaches us that this is what receiving the fear of the Lord and understanding is wisdom, and wisdom is like. It is like the miner who diligently and persistently searched for something that was once hidden. But rather than receiving the perishable metal of silver or any other gold, God's word instructs us how we can obtain the imperishable wisdom that leads to skillful life in this age and eternal life in the age to come. So, brothers and sisters, from this first point, we should receive and treasure God's word by reading it, by meditating upon it, and by trying to get it into our hearts and our minds. We should pray and cry out to God for illumination to understand these wise statements. And we should search the scriptures, asking God to unlock what is locked up to us without His blessing. We should remember the illustration of the miner who teaches us to diligently work hard at finding the valuable treasure of the wisdom of God. So our first heading was dig for wisdom like a miner who searches for hidden treasure. But next, if you have a copy of God's Word, and if you're following along, turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 in the New Testament for our second point, which is this. Leave all like the man who finds treasure in a field. Leave all like the man who finds treasure in a field. Throughout the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, He often chose to speak in parables. You know, parables reveal truth to disciples, but they further confound or confuse fools by showing them that they cannot understand them. Interestingly, one commentator sees a link between Jesus' parables in the gospel and wise statements in the book of Proverbs. John Kitchen writes, "The Hebrew word for Proverbs is translated perhaps most effectively in Greek by parabole, or our English word, parable. The root idea of both words, to be like, is at the heart of Jesus' parable, in which He routinely says one thing may be compared to another thing, or something is like something else." This, of course, does not mean that proverbs and parables are exactly the same thing in exactly the same way as they function, but this might help us to see some overlap when we read the proverbs and the parables. And this overlap becomes even more evident whenever similar language is being used in both portions of Scripture. For instance, in Proverbs 2, we just considered the need of ours to search for wisdom as if it were hidden treasure. But now in Matthew 13:44, we read that the kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure. I'll just read the remainder of the verse before we consider this parable. Matthew 13:44. "The kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure in a field, which a man found and cover up. Then in his joy he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field." Well, with this similar language in our mind, let us consider this parable to contemplate another means that we should take up to obtain the wisdom of God. So as we look at this verse, first I want us to consider the story explained. In this pithy narrative, a man finds valuable treasure hidden in a field. Someone other than the treasure finder had previously buried the valuable treasure in that field for a reason that is not revealed in this short parable. It's just there. Next, rather than immediately taking up this newly found treasure and running away with it, the person rehides what he just discovered. He covered or hid what had just been uncovered or revealed to him. Third, we are told that the treasure discoverer departed from the presence of this treasure that he just found to sell all that he owned. This would empty him of his possessions, but it would give him the opportunity to purchase or receive something else. And then fourth, we are told that the man in the parable buys the field that contains the buried treasure that he just rehid or recovered within it. So we've considered the story explained, but now consider the purpose of this parable. This short story about hidden treasure teaches us to be willing to forsake or to leave or to abandon everything this world has to offer to receive an incomparably more valuable treasure. And this valuable treasure, who was once hidden, but is now revealed, is the Lord Jesus Christ. None can savingly discover this hidden treasure except those to whom God has chosen to reveal it to. It would be nearly impossible for a man to find treasure in a field if he, by his own strength, would go searching for it. It would likely take him a million lifetimes worth of tries to find treasure hidden in a field. Well, even more impossible is it for someone to find the true and living God in their fallen state apart from God's grace. But God has graciously decided to reveal Himself. All men know that He exists through nature. Many are taught about Jesus through the preaching of the gospel. But only God's children forsake their sin and this world and the things that this world has to offer to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. So if we want wisdom, we must be united to Jesus Christ. To us who believe, we have been made sensible that Jesus Christ is of incomparable worth. To us who believe, He is precious. He is the pearl of great price worth selling everything else for. He is the one that promises us that if we forsake all to follow Him, we will receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. His divine essence makes Him worthy of all honor and praise. His act of redemption to die as an atoning sacrifice and be raised from the dead for everyone who will believe in Him make Him worthy of us praising Him. He is the one in whom the Father delights in. Nothing compares to the precious Lord Jesus Christ. So in our search for wisdom, in our search for treasure, may we be willing to lose anything and everything to receive Jesus Christ, who comparatively is everything. Proverbs 2 teaches us to search for something like hidden treasure. Matthew 13 teaches us to forsake all to receive valuable treasure. And Colossians 2:3 says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. If we want wisdom, we must forsake our old unredeemed lives, and receive the treasure of Jesus Christ. Dig for wisdom like a miner who searches for treasure. Leave all like the man who finds hidden treasure in a field. But for our last point, turn back to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. But be willing, in just a moment, to flip to James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. So Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And our third point is this. Pray to God without doubting, unlike the double-minded man. Pray to God without doubting, unlike the double-minded man. After Solomon exhorts his son to search for wisdom at the beginning of Proverbs 2, he makes multiple propositional statements about the Lord Himself. He says, the Lord gives wisdom. From the mouth of the Lord come knowledge and understanding. The Lord stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Like our previous headings, these statements explain that God alone is the source of wisdom. But these propositional statements say more. Whereas it was previously implied that we will find wisdom if we search for it, it is now explicitly stated that the Lord gives wisdom. God is revealed to us as the wisdom-giving God. He is described as graciously giving image-bearers what they do not possess in themselves, what they are unable to conjure up in themselves, and what they cannot find anywhere else other than Him alone. God requires man to be wise and to find wisdom, but because of sin, man is unable to. But like the rest of the good news in God's Word, God graciously gives and provides in His Son what He requires of man and what man is unable to do because of his sin.
Amen.
Praise is due to the all-wise God for giving image bearers what He possesses in Himself, wisdom. The one who calls upon the Lord for wisdom should have confidence that when they go to God, the all-wise God, they will receive wisdom if they rightly ask Him for wisdom. Well, let's further consider this by turning to James chapter 1. In the first chapter of James, specifically verses 5 through 8. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. In our search for wisdom, James writes the following, starting in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. These verses reveal that for those who want to progress in sanctification, God will not withhold the wisdom needed in order to spiritually mature. But before God grants His children additional wisdom, He wants us to ask Him for it. He wants us to ask Him, believing what Proverbs 2:6 says, that the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He wants us to approach Him in prayer without mingled unbelief that thinks God is unwilling or unable to grant what we're asking for. He desires that His children call upon Him for wisdom without doubting. To doubt, though, isn't always a bad thing. It can mean to know how to decide between two interpretations. It can mean to argue or even to discuss the respective merits of different arguments. It could mean to be hesitant about how to decide something. That's sometimes a very good thing. But in this context, doubting is bad and wrong, because the options are to believe that God gives wisdom or to not believe that He gives wisdom. Doubting prohibits us from obtaining the wisdom of God. The person who prays to God doubting must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, let alone wisdom. And here our Lord graciously gives us another illustration through the Apostle James to help us understand what he's telling us. James tells us that the person who doubts, it's like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. The doubter is like water that can be manipulated or easily changed or enforced upon by strong wind. The doubter is unlike a firm and a solid foundation that is unaffected by wind or other things that may act upon it. Rather than being unmoved like a solid foundation, the doubter is affected by his doubt like wind that changes the direction of water. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So brothers and sisters, as our Lord gives us this illustration, may we not be like this double-minded man. Let us continually seek the Lord and pray to the Lord without doubting, asking Him to mature us and to give us more wisdom so we can live skillful lives in this life, so we can be prepared for the life to come. May we pray for a greater increase of wisdom until our Lord transforms our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. Well, we've considered three pictures, or we've considered three means for obtaining the wisdom of God. But before I conclude, I want to give us two more uses. And the first one is this: prioritize the public worship of God. Prioritize the public worship of God. You'll likely notice that all these means I mentioned in this topical compiling of texts are ordinary things that we do as Christians when we meet for worship. Believers cherish God's Word up within them. They account it as valuable. The minister speaking on behalf of the people often asks God for illumination of the Scriptures. Thus, he calls out for insight. He raises his voice for understanding. Then the preacher attempts by God's grace to search deep in Scripture, to show and present Jesus Christ and to offer Him freely to the people of God and to those who are not yet the people of God. Sinners are regularly called upon to leave off sin by repenting of it. They are reminded to forsake worldliness because Jesus Christ is better. I think you heard a whole sermon series through the book of Hebrews about how Jesus Christ is better. So come to the dwelling of Zion, where the means of obtaining wisdom are regularly exercised every week. Come dwell where the Lord promises His special presence with His saints. Be diligent to use means. Secondly, and lastly, remember revealed illustrations. Remember revealed illustrations. The incomprehensible God has graciously given us Scripture so we can really and savingly, though not completely nor perfectly, know Him. This revelation is an act of God's kind condescension down to our level of understanding, so we can apprehend how we ought to obey God. God, in giving us pictures or stories or illustrations, has graciously revealed wisdom to us so that way we can understand Him. To use John Calvin's illustration, God, in so speaking, lisps with us as nurses do with their children. God has graciously given us these pictures for our understanding and for our remembrance. So in our search for wisdom, remember these three pictures that help us obtain the wisdom of God. Remember the miner who teaches us to diligently work at obtaining wisdom. Remember the man who found treasure in a field, and like him, be willing to forsake everything to receive Jesus Christ, in whom all are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And remember the man who is like a wave being tossed back and forth. He teaches us to pray to God without doubting that God is able to grant us the wisdom that we need. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, your word reveals that you give wisdom and out of your mouth come understanding. We, your people, believe what you have revealed to us. Please grant us wisdom and growth in grace as we use the means that you have ordained thereunto. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.